Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We're going to continue in our series of diligently seeking God. Amen. Tonight, the title is, Why is Diligence So Important? Why is diligence so important? Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. You can be seated. So I want to look at the ideas of fervency, the ideas of faithfulness tonight. So according to opinion polls, the average American says that he believes in God. Yet for all the practical purposes, I fear sometimes that the average American hardly ever thinks about God. Amen? The average American, even though they say they believe in God, they hardly even think about God. So, you know, God comes up at Christmas time. God comes up at Easter, all right? But what in between those times, or you know, all around those times? So certainly it is not common for people to seek God with anything that could be called diligence. In the last lesson, we saw that God rewards the diligent seeker. So in this lesson, I want us to get down to the brass tacks. I want to talk about this idea of diligence. See, God, where did I go? There we go. God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. All right? So not all English translations contain the word diligently, but the Greek verb exetio, search out, means to search out, can well be translated diligently seek, as in the King James and the New King James, search for Him, seek Him out, sincerely look for Him, the Living Bible, and in the NIV, it's earnestly seeking Him. So, why, then, is diligence so important? So let's look at the question from the perspective of two terms tonight, and that those terms are fervency and faithfulness. Folks, understand this. The worst insult that can be offered to God, what is the worst insult that can be offered to God? Indifference, apathy, complacency, or worst of all, the hypocrisy of caring about God less than being number one. And having the appearance of caring. God has to be number one in your life. In order, it's an insult to Him. Okay? The strongest language in the Scripture is almost always rebuke of those who pretend to care but really don't. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 10 says, How I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and I will not accept your offerings. That's pretty harsh. Amen? Malachi 1 verse 13 says, So you say it is too hard to serve the Lord, and you turn up your noses at my commands, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Think of it. Animals that are stolen and crippled and sick are being presented as offerings. Should I accept from you such offerings as these? Asks the Lord. They're wanting to give God the rejects. Something they wouldn't even give to their governors. Okay? Matthew 23, verse 27 and 28. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religion, law, and you, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like the whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. So nothing, folks, is pleasing to God when we are giving Him our second best. When we're giving Him the scraps. Also, nothing is worse than lukewarmness. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God doesn't want lukewarmness. He'd rather you serve him with all of your heart or get out of it. Amen? But how can we avoid, folks, how can we avoid this disrespect to God? The way we avoid it is by diligently seeking him. Amen? Diligently seeking him. There we go. What are we doing? Now I'm chained up. I feel like somebody who has their iPhone or their phone hooked to a charger. You ever see people standing by the wall? Yeah. How can we avoid this disrespect to God? Seek him diligently. That's what he wants from us. Can we not add extra measures of the following qualities to our seeking of God? Sincerity, seriousness, decisiveness, passion, energy, persistence, love. All these measures of the following qualities of seeking God. The two basic components of diligence. We must seek God with fervently, very fervently seek the face of God. You see, our desire for God must be intense enough that it could be described as a hunger and a thirst. All right? That desire, you know, when you're hungry, you're looking for something to eat. Even if you're standing in front of the refrigerator, you go there 15 times in an hour and open it up, you're hungry. When you're thirsty, you want something to drink. That must be intense enough that you can describe it as, I have a thirst for God. I have a hunger for God. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Amen? God says, look, you're blessed if you hunger after the things of God. You're blessed if you thirst after the things of God. Psalms 42, another example of that, one in verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And a good way to look at that is, you know, a deer is being chased by another animal or something of that nature, and it's running for its life, and all of a sudden it finally comes to a place, it's so thirsty, and it pants for that water. That's what God wants us to do. That's how God wants us to seek after him. And we also need to seek God faithfully. Amen? We must seek God faithfully in two different areas. Faithful in the sense of truth. All right, John 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. See, the God that many people seek is little more than a figment of their imagination. All right, some people don't know really what they believe, and they just believe what they're told, or they believe, in this because that's what grandma and mom was and all that kind of stuff. You need to know your God. You need to know him, and you need to know him in truth. Amen? That's important. And not just a figment of your imagination. Well, God is good. You know, I use the analogy often of a lot of people loved Elvis, but they didn't know Elvis. They knew of his music. They knew of his movies. They knew of all these kind of things. That's what they liked. And that's what people's imagination. God is a good God. He's a great God. He died on the cross at Easter time. He was born in a manger at Christmas time. That's what they know. It's just a figment of their imagination. And anything that they look at, folks, is something that they see that is portrayed by somebody else. We don't know what God looks at, but we know God. You see what I'm saying? We know what he's all about, and we know why that he came, and we know why that he died. Amen? So, the God who truly exists must be sought, and it must be a prerogative to stipulate how he may be approached. All right? You don't just go to God any old way you want. So, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3, Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored and remain silent.'" So, but also, folks, so we have to trust, go to God, and we have to honor him and knowing what he wants and what he doesn't want. It's why it's important that we get into the Word so we know what God is pleased with. We know what makes him angry. All those kind of things. So you understand him. You get to know him. And you respect him. You approach him with that, with the honor and things that he deserves. Amen? So, but we also must be faithful as a lover with no competing loves. God is a jealous God. Amen. We don't like it. We love somebody. We want to be theirs. Amen. We don't want anybody else involved. And that's how God is. So if we put anything else before God, that is an idol. All right. Adulterers and adulteresses. In James 4, verse 4 says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourselves an enemy of God." You see, folks, that we need to know that God doesn't want us to play around in the world. That's why he said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Either get out of it or get in it. Amen? So if you have friendship with the world, if you like the way the world is, then that makes you an enemy of God. That's what the scripture says. James 4, verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Amen. That's what powerful words, folks. Amen. God says, don't be double-minded. Make up your mind. You're going to serve me, or you're not going to serve me. One or the other. So we must seek God with single-mindedness. We must seek God with wholeheartedness. We must seek God with purity of our heart. God knows. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all of your heart and with all of your soul." You see, now God didn't say, if you half-heartedly look for me, you'll find me. No, you won't. You ever see somebody, they lose something, and they, you know, I used to tell my boys sometimes, they say, I tell them, go get something. They say, I couldn't find it. I said, what'd you do? You whistle and it didn't come to you? You got to look, you got to get in there. And if you dig in and get in and dig, you'll find it. Right? So God, that's the way God is. He wants you to get in there and know him, and understand him, and seek after him, and want to please him. Do it with all of your heart. Amen? All of your heart. Praise the Lord. It's important. It's what God wants. He wants single-mindedness. I want to live for God. Anything that I do, amen, has to be pleasing with God. Amen. Wholeheartedness. Anything I do, amen, in my life, whether it comes to a job, whether it comes to where I want to live, where it comes to who I want to marry, when it comes to having children, I want it to be centered around what God wants for me. Amen. The purity of our heart. Amen. Blessed are those are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. And he says, if you'll do it with all of your heart, with all of your soul and all your mind, you'll find him. So the difference that seeking God's will make in your daily lives. Amen. Do you believe, folks, if you search God and serve God for every day of your life, that you'll have a difference in your life? It's a great impact for good on other people. Amen. Sometimes we got to understand, folks, that everything we do, every little off word or whatever it is speaking to other people. And if you're seeking to know him, you're seeking to love God and serve him with all of your heart, in your everyday experiences, it's going to change. There's going to be a difference in your life. And there's going to be a difference in the things around you. Amen. God wants to use you in your world. In your world. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 23 says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst." God's saying, look, I'm going to sanctify myself to them, but you profaned them. "Which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." This is what God is saying there. He said, you know, all the nations will know that I'm Lord, how you act. Amen. When I am hallowed, when you reverence me, when you worship me, when you serve me with everything, amen, you're going to make a difference in their eyes. So think about your workplace. Think about your neighborhood. Think about those things. What do people think of your God? The deep peace that comes from knowing that we are finally doing what is right toward God. It changes. Amen? You know, when you got something wrong with your car sometimes, folks, and you just keep driving, and finally you go get it fixed, and when you get in and drive it, it just feels so good. To know that you have that out of your way, it's running better, you're not worried about breaking down, okay? And it just gives you a peace. Well, when you live for God, and you know, I'm trying to be pure before God, I want to be a witness to these people, I want to do what's right, amen, you can leave there every day saying, thank God for helping me to be a witness. Would you tell somebody about God? No, I lived it. I lived a testimony today. And living that testimony every day, folks, is going to bring somebody who walks in some day and is having some issues in their life and say, I need to talk to so-and-so. Because they just live every day with this peace. No matter what comes in there, no matter what problem comes in through the workplace, they live it with peace every day. There's a deep joy, folks, that comes from taking part of the greatest adventure of all kind, walking by faith. Walking by faith, you get this deep joy. Amen? When you walk by faith, what you're saying is, God has my back. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what problems come in my life. God has my back. I believe that he's going to take care of whatever situation arises. Amen? I don't have to worry about it. Praise the Lord. It's important that we live with that deep peace of doing what is right toward God. It's important that we live with that deep joy by walking by faith. You see, it brings spiritual progress is the result of discipline. You see, to live the way we talked about here, by having that peace, living right toward God, by having that joy and walking by faith and all these kind of things, it is a discipline. You know, it is no flesh. You're not going to scream and yell at the boss because you're mad. You're disciplining yourself. Amen? You're not going to call off from work all the time because you know it's not a good example, even though you'd like to. You're disciplining yourself. You see what I'm saying? You're doing your what's right. You're working that job as unto the Lord. Amen. You're not going to scream at your wife or your husband or kick the dog or bite the cat, amen, around your neighbors because you don't want them to hear you talking like that. You want them to know that you're a Christian. You're living disciplined life. That shows progress. That's spiritual progress. Things that you used to do, you no longer do because you know it's not something you should do. Right? 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Give yourself entirely to what? The things. The meditate on the word. Listen, folks. Learning scripture and memorizing scripture, it's a good thing. But what good is it if you don't meditate on it? If you don't analyze it? If you don't live it? You ever know people that know scripture don't live any of it? Well, I know all the scriptures in the Bible. Yeah, but are you living it? What good does it do you to know it? God's just going to hold you more responsible because you know. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen? It says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Man, you've changed over the last year. Been working hard at it. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and bring into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Ouch. Sometimes we're so good at telling other people what they ought to do, but when it comes down to what when we face a situation, we go berserk. And they just stand back and say, I don't believe what I just seen. They're always telling me I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. But look at them. Look at how they're acting. Meditate. Discipline yourself. Get that spiritual progress. That's what we want. Spiritual progress in our life. You should be better at the end of this year than you were last year. Amen? That's what we want. Faithful stewardship of ourselves is the result of what? Diligence. Amen. Faithful stewardship of ourselves is the result of diligence. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. God is looking for somebody that says, God, I gave it my all. Are you doing it half-heartedly? Are you giving it your all? Don't be ashamed if you give it your all. That's all God wants out of us. Be diligent, and you don't have to be ashamed. Amen? God is greatly dishonored if we approach him with anything less than diligence. Think about it, folks. God is greatly dishonored if we approach him with anything less than diligence.